As I mentioned, I was actually considering to preach on the resurrection this morning, just because with everybody talking about it, it's on the mind, and I'm thinking about it. I had a lot of thoughts, but it just didn't materialize. So maybe in the next few weeks I'll be able to do that. Today, I want to talk about the phrase that we find in the 42nd Psalm, as the heart, it says in the King James, or we can say, as the deer. As the deer panteth for the water, so panteth my heart after thee, O God. But I want to start with prayer. Our Father, I thank you for this morning that we can be here, and I just pray that the psalmist's words would truly be able to be our words, that we would truly thirst after you. Amen. I recently found a quote of Sam Jones. He said that when he first started preaching, he was really worried about offending people. But he said, now I'm worried that I won't offend people. And I was able to relate to that a little bit. And I know that I've found for myself, it often seems that the more scared I am to say some things, the more people come to me afterwards and tell me that they appreciated the message. So I'm very honored to be able to preach to people who care more about the truth than they do about their own feelings. Makes it wonderful. Anyway, as the deer. In Zimbabwe, 16,500 cattle have died this year due to drought. This is a tragedy. Robert Mugabe, the president of Zimbabwe, recently declared a state of emergency because the drought was so severe. 26% of the population of Zimbabwe are food insecure because of this drought. And the tragedy of drought is something we find multiple times in the Bible. Abraham went to Egypt for a while because of famine in Canaan. The story of Joseph revolves around famine. Jacob moved to Egypt during those 7 years of famine. The story of Ruth starts with a famine in Israel. Most likely these famines were all caused by drought. When Elijah was prophet in Israel, it didn't rain for 3.5 years. And we find King Ahab and his servant Obadiah searching the whole land of Israel for a little grass with the hope that they could keep a couple of their horses alive. Joel describes drought in the first chapter of his prophecy, and along with it, he describes fires, which frequently go together. We read in Joel 1:18-20, how do the beasts groan? The herds of cattle are perplexed because they have no pasture. Yea, the flocks of sheep are made desolate. O Lord, to thee will I cry. For the fire hath devoured the pastures of the wilderness, and the flame hath burned all the trees of the field. The beasts of the field cry also unto thee, for the rivers of water are dried up, and the fire hath devoured the pastures of the wilderness. Drought is a tragedy. But there is a much greater tragedy. And we find it in Amos chapter 8, verse 11. God says through the prophet Amos, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. This is a tragedy. Joshua Project says that there are 3.08 billion unreached people in the world. Joshua Project tells us that just over 40% of the people in the world live in a people group that is considered unreached by the gospel. And in that they mean a people group in which there is no significant establishment of Christianity. 3.08 billion unreached people who are dying without Christ is a tragedy. But the tragedy that Amos was speaking of is an even greater tragedy. What Amos is talking about would be more specifically like England, for example, where they have had the gospel for 1,500 years and are on the brink of losing it. That is a tragedy. When God's people stop their ears from truth, God often sends them this kind of famine. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. I don't believe a nation could find itself in a greater tragedy than this. And this tragedy came upon Israel because the people of Israel turned from serving the living God and started worshiping the idols of the nations around them. God essentially told Israel, okay, if you don't want to drink from my cistern, it won't be available anymore. This tragedy came about because the nation of Israel was thirsty for other things beside God. And this is the subject of my sermon today. What are you thirsty for? I want you to compare Israel, as I've just described, to what the psalmist describes in the 42nd Psalm. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? The question I put to you today is, after what does your soul pant? After what does your soul pant? You can say with the psalmist, my soul pants for God like the deer pants for water. But is it true? Can you say it truthfully? Can you say with the psalmist, my soul pants for God like the deer pants for the water? Or are you the astonishment of the heavens that Jeremiah spoke of? Are you the astonishment of the heavens? Jeremiah 2:12, be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be very desolate, saith the Lord, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. David speaks of thirsting after God. When he was fleeing from Saul, he was in the wilderness. And there was a few years he was not able to go to the temple for fear that he would have been killed if he had appeared there. And he expresses himself in the 63rd Psalm. We find at the beginning of the Psalm, 63 verse 1, it says, a Psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. And he writes, O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. David longed to go to the temple. David speaks of thirsting after God again in the 143rd Psalm. He says in verse 5, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the works of thy hands. I stretch out my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. Selah. But now, you. What do you turn to for sustenance? David, the man after God's own heart, thirsted for God. At the time of the captivity of the nation of Israel, they had forsaken the fountain of living waters and were searching for sustenance in broken cisterns. Where are you looking? When you are down, what do you turn to lift your spirits? When you are dry, where do you go to find water? When you are thirsty, what are you thirsty for? Today, I will look at things that I have seen people turn to when they should have turned to Christ. People say, I desire God. But do you? If someone tells me, I believe in eating entirely organic, and then when I look in their car, I find a pile of McDonald's wrappers, I'm not going to believe them. And now, I don't care what you eat today. I use this exclusively as an illustration to show that what you say matters little when it differs from what you do. You say, I desire God, yet you spend your time drinking from broken cisterns. The world has developed scores of ways for people to deal with the issues that come along with life in a fallen world. You claim to be drinking from the fountain of living waters, yet when you are in trouble, you turn to the world for their solutions and for their fixes. Social media. You sing the chorus, as the deer. And then you go home and rather than opening your Bible and drinking from the fountain of living waters, you turn on your computer and chat with friends on social media. Social media is not an evil in and of itself. The question is, how do you use it? It can be a useful tool, but it can be a snare. All too many people are addicted to social media and to their little devices, the same way that the next man is addicted to a drug. When someone's life is a disaster, they can still control their appearance on Facebook or whatever they use. So they live a double life. Who they claim to be and who they really are. Alcohol and other substances. I was recently working with a man and some things were going wrong that day. So he walks out of the room, says, take a breath, take a draw of nicotine, it's all going to be okay. Take a draw of nicotine. It's a very common thing for people to turn to substances when things are going wrong in life. And even some professing Christians who claim to pant after God turn to cigarettes, alcohol, and other substances when they need an answer. This shouldn't be. Friends. Friends are a gift from God, and do not ever let yourself become so hyper-spiritual that you think you can survive without the help of Christian friends. God commands Christians to gather together on a regular basis for the purpose of exhortation and encouragement. We find it in Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Yet all that being true, friends are not the ultimate answer. Friends will fail you. I've had friends fail me, and I've been the friend who has failed others. When your soul is thirsty, 1,000 encouraging words from the best friend will not do what 3 words of the Bible spoken to your heart by the Holy Spirit will do. When you are discouraged, it's a good thing to have friends who will encourage you in the Lord. But there is nothing that will encourage you like reading this book and having the Spirit open up to your heart the written word. At the beginning of the 3.5 years of famine, when Elijah was hiding by the brook Cherith, the ravens brought him bread and flesh every morning and every evening. But when Elijah flees from Jezebel later on and lays himself down under the juniper tree, the angel of the Lord takes and bakes a cake on the coals, and he goes on the strength of that meat for 40 days and 40 nights. Movies. You say you pant after God, but why do you watch one of the world's movies every time you're discouraged? Is there no balm in Gilead? Why must you turn to the world for their answers? Is the Bible not enough to give you purpose and happiness? Why do you need Hollywood when you're feeling down? Music. If someone asked me why I don't like the radio, I'd tell them I don't want some ungodly DJ deciding what is appropriate for me to be thinking about at any given time. The Bible tells me what I should be thinking. In Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. As a Christian, I need to control my environment to help obey this verse. And turning off the world's music is one of the very first steps. I just mentioned a minute ago that social media can be a good tool. And I'm not going to say that I've only ever used it right. But I'll say that this is the second sermon in a row that's been inspired by Facebook. A couple weeks ago, a friend of mine posted on his wall, "It's going to be a crank the country music up day today." When I read that, I wanted to cry. Oh God, why do your people turn to the world's answers when they need help? He was feeling down and depressed, and country music is written to answer to those feelings. But why do Christians need the world's answers? Are the songs of the kingdom unable to satisfy your need? I hope my friend listens to this message sometime, because I want him to know that his kind of Christianity makes me weep. And worse, I believe tears roll down the cheeks of Almighty God when his people walk past the cisterns of living water found in the Word and drink from the world's broken cisterns. What do you turn to when you need an answer? We just sang the song by Henry F. Light where he writes, "Man may trouble and distress me, 'twill but drive me to thy breast. Life with trials hard may press me, heaven will bring me sweeter rest. Oh, 'tis not in grief to harm me while thy love is left to me. Oh, 'twere not in joy to charm me were that joy unmixed with thee. Novels. Romance novels are an escape from real life for many people. What do you turn to when you are depressed? Do you open a novel and escape reality for a while? Or do you open the Word of God and drink from the living fountain? It grieves me. When Christians live like the Bible is the least desirable book on the shelf. You do your pleasure reading for hours and then you read 6 verses of Scripture to put salve on your conscience before you go to bed. What are you hungry for? Do you pant after the novel and force yourself to read the Bible? Or do you pant after God to where you desire this book? Politics. David says in Psalm 39 verse 7, "And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in Thee." There are people who claim to pant after God, and yet their hope is all wrapped up in getting the right president elected this fall. These people spend more time campaigning for a man once every 4 years than they do campaigning for the gospel the other 3 years. These people probably read their Bible through once a year, so they read these words of David 4 times between every election. With their mouth they say, "My hope is in God." But with their life they say, "My hope is in the president." Health food. I believe in eating right. But it breaks my heart when I see people get more excited about some health product than I've ever seen them get about the gospel. With their mouth, you say, "My hope is in God." But with your life, you say, "My hope is in health." I once had a health product that I was selling for a while. But I began to feel like I had 2 gospels. I would go knocking on doors with my Bible one day, and the next day, I never went knocking on doors trying to sell it, but I would go out, trying to sell someone this product. And I felt divided. I have 1 gospel. So I quit with the company, not because the product was a bad product, but because the company wanted me to propagate their product as the gospel. As a gospel. And I was not going to do that. Health products are good. And if you can sell them without it becoming your gospel, more power to you. I couldn't, so I quit. David says, "And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in Thee." But I fear there are Christians who say, "What wait I for? My Plexus shipment came." I'm not preaching against health food, and everybody who knows me knows that. In the past 10 years, I've probably eaten less processed sugar than the average American eats in a week. I believe in eating right, but I have only 1 gospel. Your health product might change lives, but they'll still die and go to hell. The gospel can make the vilest sinner righteous and give him a home in heaven at the Father's right hand. The good news of salvation isn't going to make you healthy, but it can make you happier than if you were healthy. The gospel of Jesus Christ can break the chains of sin that are dragging the sinner closer and closer to the abyss of eternal hell, and bind him with the cords of love that will pull him safe to the harbor of heaven. I pity the poor Christian who has lost sight of the glories of heaven and of the glorious gospel of Christ, who has so lost sight that they're more excited about propagating some health product than they are about telling the story of Christ. Sports. I pity the poor Christian who can name every man on the Packers football team, but couldn't name six of the 12 apostles. You tell me your hope is in God, but you get more worked up about the fact that your neighbor is a Steelers fan than you do that he is not a Christian. You tell me you pant after God as a deer pants for water, but you will miss church for a Packer game. Your Christianity breaks my heart. What are you thirsty for? Some of the things I've mentioned this morning are always wrong. Some of the things I've mentioned are only wrong if you look to them as your answer for life. And I hope you have enough discernment to distinguish between the two. My purpose is not to preach against things this morning. I only use specifics with the hope of bringing to your attention a state of heart that has permeated some of us. And I beg you to challenge yourself with these two questions. What am I thirsty for? And what do I turn to for sustenance? What am I thirsty for? And what do I turn to for sustenance? Peter tells us in 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. Desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. I want you to read your Bible, not because you made a New Year's resolution to read through the Bible in a year and you have 14 chapters to read to catch up, but because you are thirsty with a thirst that cannot be quenched with anything else. Thirsty with a thirst that cannot be quenched any other way. Psalm 42:1, to the chief musician, Maskell, for the sons of Korah. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Done. There's all kinds of things that people can turn to. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the fountain of living water that we have in this book. And I pray for each person here that we will turn away from our broken cisterns and turn towards you, Father, that you would truly be our only desire. Father, help us. Amen.